Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 12th, 2015. No, 17. It's 2017 this year.
The one time you get it wrong and John Martellaro is not here to bask
in the glory. Yeah, that's karma right there. Anyhow, it's 2017. We'll go with that. And so Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm splendid. It's been a splendid day.
It has been a splendid day. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Yeah, it's been a great 2 years, apparently.
It has been. Boy, time flies. Jeff Butts, glad you're here with us, too.
Glad to be here.
And in case I didn't mention it, since clearly I don't even know what year it is, I'm Jeff Gamet. And hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing. And this is exactly the week for them to be a sponsor, because we now know that iOS 11 is shipping on September 19th. So if you want to make sure that you have good backups of your iOS devices before you get iOS 11 installed, iMazing is exactly what you want to use. So the way this works is you go download the app for your Mac or your PC, and then it gives you total control over the backups of your iOS devices, so you can make sure that you're rock solid and ready to go when iOS 11 ships next week. And if something goes wrong, no problem. You can roll back to the backup you made. It already supports iOS 11, so you're set going forward. And if it turns out you want to restore or just extract a specific piece of information from your phone, iMazing handles that too. It's like everything we always wanted the iTunes backup to be, but it never was. So what you guys need to do is go check it out. Go to their website, iMazing.com/TDO, and you can download iMazing there. Also, you're going to get a 20% discount off of individual license or group license because you went to that URL, iMazing/TDO. And go check it out, because it's incredibly useful. It's what I'm using. And every time I do an update to my devices, I make sure I've got a good iMazing backup. iMazing.com/TDO. Thank you for being our sponsor. All right, so we might as well just jump right in to the big news of the day, which is actually a big long list of news, because today was Apple's media event where we learned about new iPhones, we learned about new Apple Watch, we learned about new Apple TV, and a couple other things too. So I'm curious, what is it from the event that stands out to you guys? And we'll just kind of like go around the group. Dave, do you want to start?
Yeah, but I'm probably going to go in an odd direction.
I'm ready for it.
Okay, well, you know, there was a lot of stuff that we were expecting because of the leaks and all of that. And so certain things stood out to me that we didn't quite know were coming. And the new Apple Watch Series 3, they're calling it, has an LTE chip. We'd heard that was coming. It's got, you know, it's actually got some new bands, which we didn't know about. But the thing that stood out to me as part of this is that Siri now, because of the new CPU and whatever they were able to do engineering wise with this, Siri now has a voice on the Apple Watch. And that's always been odd to me that it does not. I can talk to it, but it can't talk back to me.
Right. Yeah.
And I've had a problem with that where, like, I'm in the car or something and I'll just naturally go to use my Apple Watch to reply to a text or something. And then suddenly I'm in this scenario where the only way I can confirm that what I thought I said is what's going to send is I have to read. And so having that bi-directional communication in the Apple Watch, I think that's actually a good thing. And my guess is it's something that could easily be overlooked.
Yep. And my guess is a lot of people won't really catch that until the first time their watch talks back to them.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'd like to point out that Jeff Gamet and I were poo-pooing the idea that you'd be able to make calls or receive calls on the Apple Watch, because we couldn't imagine anyone wanting to mess with another phone number. Turns out Apple has a solution for that. Making phone calls on the Apple Watch make a lot more sense.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So you can receive calls on your Apple Watch, and it shares the same phone number as your phone.
Right.
And the big four carriers are supporting this right away. So that's AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint.
But I don't think you need to have your phone with you to do it.
Correct.
No, that's the point.
So the other thing that was bugging me about this idea about the Apple Watch being able to make and receive phone calls is that making and receiving a phone call right now is really cool from a novelty standpoint, but it's not a great experience. You got to hold the phone up to your lips, then you got to move it over to your ears, especially if you're outside. Got to move it to your ear so you can hear it. And that was just always, that was never a great experience for me. It was really cool that I could do it. But it wasn't like something I chose to do on a frequent basis. During the demo, Jeff Williams did this whole thing where, you know, he did the stage phone call with a surfer who's out in the middle of Lake Tahoe. And then he pointed out after he was done talking to her that the only microphone she had was the microphone in her Apple Watch out in the middle of this lake. She sounded great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, well, to be fair, not a lot of noise around her.
Well, he was claiming there was wind.
There was wind.
There was wind. Sure.
But not other noise.
No, not other noise. But for her to even sound as good as she did, not mic'd other than the Apple Watch, despite the special circumstances, but including some of the special circumstances, was still impressive.
Yeah. Totally agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm curious to see how that sounds in real world use, because the whole thing of using my Apple Watch as a phone interface, Apple Watch Series 2, it's obvious when I'm talking to people through my watch. So I'm curious to see if it really does sound that much better on
Apple Watch. If it's any different. I agree with you. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but you know,
I suspect us to be pleasantly surprised by this. I mean, I'm with you. I'm going to believe it when I see it and hear it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm expecting to be surprisingly impressed.
And I'm curious just how long my Apple Watch battery will last.
Right.
Because, Apple Watch as it stands, now granted, it's a whole computer that fits in a tiny little box on your wrist. That's really impressive. But you don't get more than a day for practical use out of the watch. And cell phone connectivity, that takes some serious juice. So it'll be interesting to see how long our batteries do last.
What I think will help is the fact that they're using the entire display as the antenna.
That was a clever move.
Yep.
And to this little discussion, I want to eat some more humble crow pie, or whatever the correct phrase is. John Martellaro was, I've been saying that Apple's going to make this thing thinner at the expense of battery life. And it is not thinner. It doesn't seem thinner, at least.
It sure doesn't look thinner.
I mean, if it is thinner, it's not noticeably so. And I don't think it is at all. So. It seems like Apple is not going for thinness over battery life so far with the Apple Watch.
Yep. All right. There's more that I want to talk about, so I'm going to just cut off our Apple Watch discussion. Jeff Butts, tell me something else that stood out to you.
I can't. You just cut off Apple Watch. No. The Animoji in the iPhone 10. Young people love emoji. I could, for the most part, take it or leave it. But the Animoji, the way you can record your own facial expressions, and the Animoji mimics those with more than 50 different facial muscle movements, that's really impressive to me.
Yes, it's It's one of those things where I can see where a percentage of the iPhone user base will look at that and scoff, and the rest of the user base is going to eat it up like
eat candy. It up.
Yep.
Eat it up. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
And I'll use it. I mean, I'll totally use it. I'm not big on emojis. There are times, though, when an emoji is the best way to express myself, and an animoji is going to be even better.
Yeah, I think the animoji is going to be an incredibly powerful selling tool for the iPhone X, regardless of whether or not people are enjoying it or excited about it today. Man, yep. This is something the general public is just going to flip over.
Yeah.
And I like that it doesn't limit you to just the iPhone X. So that's what you need to make it, because it needs to do the right facial scanning stuff that the iPhone X does. But it sends the animoji as a video to whoever is receiving it, which means that you can have pretty much any kind of phone and still get this, or at least any kind of iPhone and still get this. So that will be cool.
Yeah.
So Brian, what's standing out to you?
Well, I mean, yeah, not a lot of it was a surprise. Again, as Dave noted, thanks to the leaks coming out ahead of time. But the iPhone X just looks amazing to me. Excuse me, the iPhone X looks amazing to me. The looks like the display is going to be phenomenal. The true depth camera looks like it is pretty significant. I mean, like, they just sort of slipped it in, but did you notice that they talked about the fact that it can be used to do some portrait like effects? So they're using some IR depth, IR information to affect the way a normal photograph looks that uses not infrared light to look at, right? Because we don't use infrared with our eyeballs.
Right.
And so, I mean, that was surprising and very interesting. I can't wait to see what they actually look like. You know, they spent no time on that. So that's super interesting. The Face ID stuff is interesting. I personally, my bit of skepticism for iPhone X is whether or not Face ID is truly fast enough to not be annoying and awkward. I hope to be surprised, but this is where my skepticism lies.
I'm sure. Sharing your skepticism with Touch ID on my iPhone 7. By the time my phone is out of my pocket in front of my face, it's already unlocked and on the home screen, because all I have to do is put my thumb on the button.
Yep.
With Face ID, I have to point my phone at my face and then swipe up.
Yeah.
You know, Apple's being clear about this, though, being, you know, almost an experimental model. I mean, experimental is not their term by any stretch, but, you know, it's, you get next year's technology now. Right. And so if you don't like what they're doing, I would say wait till next year and get, you know, get the technology from 2 years down the road then.
Yeah, that's actually a very fair point. I personally don't mind paying to be a beta tester in this case. I'm super excited by this device.
But sure. I feel like similar to the way we were similar, but not quite to the same degree that anybody who bought the original iPhone was, that's what this is there's some significant UX changes here. And some of them are only changes for iPhone users, right? The whole swipe up thing, that's different for us, but it's not new. The swipe down to get control center, you know, hello, Android, right? But it is different. And from an iOS perspective, it's going to be a different experience and all of that stuff. So if you want the same experience, but you want a new phone, the iPhone 8 is right there, which I think would have been called the iPhone 7S if they didn't want to call this other thing iPhone 10, because they've already now burned the iPhone 9 name. Right. So, you know, if they had called it the 7S, they would have burned 8 and 9. That might have seemed like more of a stretch. I don't know. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and Apple has shown time and again that they're not married to any of their naming conventions. So,
no.
Yeah, so who knows what next year's phones are going to be called?
Yep, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
So I have something to point out. In between when we all watched the keynote and when we recorded this, I actually had a couple of calls with people who watched it but aren't so deep like we are and so used to watching all these people. And every one of them said, is everybody at Apple that boring?
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's true, right? We've talked about this on this show, but we've sort of come to expect, I mean, Tim Cook, Phil Schiller, Eddie Q, right? Craig Federighi was of course the one consistently that everybody said, except that guy that did the demo. Holy crap, that guy was great. No one on stage really has an engaging personality. They are characters in this drama that we watch, and we know their characters, and so I say characters, but they are people. They act like we expect them to act. Someone watching this, right, kind of fresh, and fresh is the wrong term for some of these people, but having not watched every other one obsessively, the Apple comes across as very, very boring and stale.
But you know what? I'll take that over Jack Ma doing awful Michael Jackson impressions or whatever the crap it is that we saw with the on Broadway from Samsung 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Well, because those people are dull too. They just have been, they're trying to make it not dull. But Apple doesn't have an engaging presenter other than Federighi right now. I mean, I don't mean to say that they don't have engaging presenters. They've got, you know, thousands of people that work there. They don't bring them out. They don't trot them out. You got it.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. I can't remember her name. She was iTunes Music Woman.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Her. Yeah. Bozoma St. John, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She was amazing. Yes,
she was great. Yeah.
And she's gone.
Now she's
and she dude. Left. Right. Right.
How would you rate Angela Rentz, who did her first keynote appearance?
She was fine.
She was fine. Everybody the three people that I talked to all said, they all lumped her in with, you know, the boring group.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. But again, no one thought any of these people weren't smart or deserving of being there. Right. I mean, it wasn't like they should get these people off the stage because they have no right being there. They should get these people off the stage and let these people do the good work that they do while
and put somebody else up there to entertain me.
Are these people who have seen other companies give keynotes? Because tech executives in general tend to not be all that dynamic.
That's a fair point. Yeah. Yeah. No, not. No, these are people that watched this event largely because I told them that, you know, there'd be good things announced that we should talk about. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that these keynotes, even though Apple makes them available to the public, they're not really designed to be commercials.
Right. Well, they have a history. The problem is their legacy of having Steve Jobs present these things. So,
yes,
that made it a public spectacle. And when he obviously passed on and couldn't do these anymore, well, do we simply say, yeah, we're not going to air these anymore?
But Steve Jobs wasn't a dynamic presenter. He just had amazing charisma.
Yeah, he was engaging. Oh, that's
true. I mean, it was about presence. It was
correct.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Correct.
Fair
that's
enough.
That's what it is. Yeah. 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 And, so and anyway, I just wanted to point that out. Yes. I just wanted to point that out that, you know, those of us kind of in the echo chamber here, it's easy to lose sight of that. The fact that as excited as we are about this stuff, these keynotes are generally pretty boring for the average person now. But if I sit those people down and play them the iPhone launch keynote, they're in. Also, I sent one of them the Scott Forstall interview from earlier this year with John Markoff, And they said, this is the guy that should be out there telling people about Apple's new products. Yeah, I know. Well,
and we said that after that.
Of course.
After that event.
That's why I sent it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Y'all said that. I said that was only if you wanted Apple to remain an iPhone and Mac company. Just nitpicking.
Well, you weren't here, to be fair. You were out traveling, so you really didn't get to say anything that day.
Yeah, fair enough. So there you go, Brian. Boom. You just got shut down.
Yeah, apparently.
Hey, we are out of time, but we haven't mentioned Apple TV 4K yet. So I'm curious, do you guys think that Apple is too late to the game with this?
Well hold on. It's 2015, right? I'm super impressed.
Maybe that's why I had the slip up. Yeah, it's
Apple's not too late. Apple's not Apple. I see. I'm second guessing myself. Yeah, Apple could actually be too late. They've lost so much ground in this space.
Yeah,
I was surprised how much time they spent bragging about 4K on a product that everyone feels is 2 years too late. Well, many people feel is 2 years too late.
Well, 4K. It has by no means taken over the TV world yet. Correct? Am I correct on that?
Correct. But in 2015,
the physical television space.
Yeah. In 2015, when the Apple TV 4 came out, it was still 1080p. At that point, there were already several 4K products on the market.
We were looking for 4K at that time.
Yeah.
And they were late. They were late with 1080p.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and Apple has lost ground in this space. And note that this device is cheaper.
True.
Right.
So maybe Apple is realizing that it needs to, that if it's going to sell this, you know, continue in this hobby that they like to enjoy, maybe they realize that they need to actually do something.
Yeah.
Cheaper device, finally getting 4K. These are good things. And then the processor, I mean, the graphics capabilities on this thing are going to be a substantial improvement.
Yes, they're using the iPad Pro processor, the
A10X. Yeah, the A10X.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's the X version.
Yes, thank you, A10X. So it has nice specs, and I'm curious to see if this boosts Apple TV sales or not.
Yeah, well, it'll boost it by one. I need one.
All right,
yeah.
There you go.
I've been waiting for this announcement to get it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, we are pretty much out of time. But Dave, I have a hunch that you have something more you want to say.
I have one prediction I'd like to make, and that is that the new AirPods charging case, when officially announced and we actually get the details on that, it will come with new model AirPods inside it. I don't think AirPower was on the list of things they were going to talk about a week ago. And I think they added it last minute because of all the leaks. It's not coming out for months. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think that case has new AirPods inside it when it finally is released.
That seems likely.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. I just want to see them actually produce the AirPods.
Yeah. They're down to like 1 to 2 weeks shipping time now.
So ridiculous, though. Come on, man.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. I got to shake myself free of the reality distortion. Thank you, Brian.
Steve Jobs is nodding approvingly somewhere.
Yes. Yes, he is. All right. Well, we're really out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Always a pleasure.
And Brian, thank you, too.
Thank you. I can't wait to find out who wins the 2016 election.
I know it's going to be quite the event, I'm sure.
A nail biter.
Yeah.
Hey,
thanks for having us, Ben.
Yeah. Oh, it's great that you're all here. And thank you to iAmazing for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, iAmazing.com/TDO. Get your copy of iAmazing and get a 20% discount because you really need to have good backups of your iOS devices, and this is the tool to do it with. So pick it up, iAmazing.com/TDO. And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.